This necklace under your shirt. Okay, I think we're good to go. Good afternoon, everybody. And glad to see you here, guys. We are here for the exam cram session for the 74666 test, which is the first test on the BI MCSE certification, right? So just make sure you're in the right place. My name is Armando Lacerda, and I'll be leading this session here. I have three goals in this session. One is to motivate you to get certified. The other one is to give you tips about, you know, what you're going to see in the test. And the third one is to give you some references, some resources to look, you know, to research after this class, after this session here. I'm also an MCT, right, a Microsoft Certified Trainer. I do this training all the time overseas. I'm from Brazil. I work and teach classes there, teach classes here, do consulting both places. I'm starting getting some gigs in Europe too. And BI is one of my loved toys. And I really enjoy a lot work with BI. For this particular session, I have a fourth goal, which I think is the hardest one, which is try to keep you awake, right? After lunch, with this dimmed light and just a guy speaking, I'm not even allowed to do presentations, demonstrations. I have just to go with the slides with you. So I will be bugging you all the time to make sure you're awake, right? I'll be asking you questions, ask you to interact with me. So nobody falls asleep here. All right, so we have four topics to cover, right? You're going to see the overall Microsoft certification track. You have received, right, a pamphlet with the tracking there. What you're going to see here, just kind of a summary of what you have in the pamphlet. We're going to spend most of our time on seeing the topics of 76466. And intermingled with it, we're going to have some real questions, but from the surreal world. when you take a test, there is this NDA thing. You have to agree when you take the test, and you're not supposed to get any question. Went through the test and get them out of there. So not supposed to do that, and I'm doing that. I'm not doing that. But I did make up some questions for my own, right? So I put these questions up so you can kind of interact through those questions, right? And have our minds working on the way they should work when taking tests. And at the end, some exam tips. So let's talk a little bit about Microsoft certification just fast for us to take a look, you know, understand the overall scenario and the overall idea of Microsoft certifications. Who here already works with SQL Server? Everybody. So you know SQL Server already. What are you doing here? Now, we do work with SQL Server, right? But we want to get certified. And how do I get there? That's the answer I'm trying to answer. That's the question I'm trying to answer throughout this presentation. How do I get there? Our folks, you know, the other colleagues there, they propose these four steps. You know, you have a path to follow, four steps to take. First one, where you want to be. So if you are in this session, I understand you want to get specialized in SQL Server Business Intelligence Suite, right? The whole thing in there, data service, data quality service, integration service, analysis service, all those guys, reporting service, right? All these guys we have in there. So we're going to take a look on that in more details. Then you're going to understand that you have to find your gaps. Now, I have already asked, you all work with SQL Server. Who is actively working with BI? Analysis service? Everybody. Great, that's even awesome. So we work with this every day. But when you go to the test, you're going to see, more likely you're going to see things you do not work, you do not touch, you do not research, you do not just don't play in production in an everyday basis. Right? So you're going to find the gaps. And once they are spot, we're going to work with them. I have selected here a few topics that, based on my experience teaching classes, teaching BI classes, I see some people not very familiar with. So I was very anxious about being here. I have three sessions. One is already over. It was in the morning. And this one, the next one. And because the idea is to point out the things that people usually oversee when they're preparing for the test. And I don't know you before you get here, so I'm not sure if I have selected the right topics. I did a good job in the morning, though. Most of the topics there, people were like, no, never heard about that before, or never worked with that before. And then the next step is definitely take the exam. Unfortunately, we are sold out here, right? We had this 50% off during the event. So we are the testing center is already sold out. And I think they close at 3, too. So yeah, not here in the event anymore. But no, take the exam, definitely. So the first one, where do you want to be? Here are the certifications you can get. Microsoft got remodeled that a few months ago, actually almost a year ago. It was used to be a long time ago, right? MCSEs for data infrastructures, then DBAs. It was the old format. They changed it to ITP and other modules in there. And now they remodeled it again like this. And this is way more simpler than what it used to be. If you got a pamphlet there, you're going to see the tracks in there, right? As you can see, there are many MCSEs you can work for, you know, and get them. In the past, the E on MCSE was to be system engineer, right? The E was for engineer. Now it's for expert. So the idea is they moved from product specialization to technology specialization. So when you go for MCSE levels, MCSA, which is not here, is the first base of the pyramid. This second base, which is MCSE, you're more into the design approach of certification. On the first levels of certification, MCSA, you're more about the product. Like, you know SQL Server, you know how to operate management service, you know how to operate and all the tools, you know querying, you know the idea of backup and all of this. At this level of certification, the questions they go for, you know how to apply the technology to a particular scenario. So they laid out some cases there for you to read the case. And after you got the whole picture, they get the questions for you to answer according to the study case. Not according to your experience, but according to the study case. And that's one thing we'll be working throughout this session here. To get your mindset for the ready for the test. So yeah, you can be MCSE in many platforms, and also developer, right, in SharePoint, major developer certification, SharePoint, and web applications. So this is the basic one, right, the three basic tests for SQL Server certification. If you want to become a business intelligence MCSE certified, you have to take these three tests first. All right, these three tests here, they are not related to BI, specifically to BI. They are more SQL Server generic tests, right? So it's about queries. The first one is about querying here. First one is about querying. This is more administration. This is more data. It's data warehouse, but it's more about physical placement. You know, we do touch a little bit of BI in there. But it, again, it's more about using the technology, right? The next one. This was the previous session, early this morning. Mike went with the 464, and I covered 465. Now, this is our ones here, right? 66 and 67. So after you have acquired the solution associate with the previous three tests, then we get the next two, right, for BI, okay? So this test, this session here is about this test. It's kind of more than halfway through to get the solution expert in business intelligence. Yes, last one of the day. All right. Okay, so yeah. Is anybody here already certified? Okay, got some people certified in SQL Server? Cool, SQL Server right there. 2008? You got the ITP level certification? Got the ITP? Perfect, so you're DBAs, right? You can take this path here, the upgrade path, right? Instead of taking three tests instead of taking five tests, if you are BI certified in SQL Server 2008, instead of taking five tests, you can take three. These two guys here who are equivalent to the first three we have seen, right? The 61, 62, and 63. So we can take these two tests here. You see, you have to take both. The order really doesn't matter, but you have to take both. It's part one and part two. So after you have taken these two here, you are MCSA in 2012. And then there is one more upgrade test you can take. This is for the data platform, was this morning. This is our afternoon subject, business intelligence. This guy here is equivalent to the two tests you're going to talk, this session and the next session, right? So you can take this upgrade path, three exams. They're kind of long. They expect to last for 3 hours and 15 minutes if you look at the website. I did the upgrade test because I was a DBA already and BI already in 2008. So it took me about an hour and a half, something like that, to go through each one of them. I'd rather take the upgrade test because it's all in one shot, right? But when I was recruited to be here with you at this event, so you know what? Not fair. You know, I'm going to talk about the test I didn't take. So although I was not required, I went back to Prometric and took this test, the regular tests, just to see how they play out. And they're pretty much the same thing. They're just longer, right? Because they're individuals. They're just longer than the upgrade path. So yeah, I know a little bit about what I'm talking about. I always recommend, every time I'm teaching a class, I always recommend and motivate people to get certified. To be honest, I hate taking tests. I really don't like, I mean, used to hate more than I hate it today. Today's a kind of a bittersweet relationship. You know, I like it when I pass, I don't like it when I fail. But the problem with tests is it shows you your weakness. And nobody likes to, you know, I'm weak in this area, you know, I have to work more in this area or whatever. But the point is, I was down in Brazil, I'm from Brazil, I think I mentioned that already. I was down in Brazil working with my projects there, and I got hired by a Microsoft partner, and SQL Server 7.0 was coming out. I was already working with data warehousing in Oracle back then. And I said, you know, need a guy with Microsoft certification to do this, join us. And I started working with them, and I was in the group, one of the first 20 people in Brazil who got certified in SQL Server 7.0 right after he got released. So I made here to the United States in 1999 for the SQL Pass conference, which is coming, right, I think in 2 months, for the SQL Pass conference. It was the very first one. I was a founding member of the SQL Pass community. And my goal was to be there, you know, to get to know people, get to make relationships, you know, networking. When I started giving away my business cards with the certification, I got tons of job offers. You know, I didn't have a work permit back then. So tons of job offers. I said, no, you know what, go back to Brazil. And then went back to Brazil. Next year, 2000, I came back to the States. That year was in San Francisco. And the same thing happened. And the point is exactly this, you know, people do value. Hiring people, they do value certification. And there are surveys out there that really show that people who are certified, in average, they earn more on the same position than people who are not certified. So that, for me, is a big motivation, right? I hope for you too. So when you go for the test and take your certification, what should you expect when you take the test? Well, my first test I started taking back in 1998, and they were really boring, you know, all black and white, really, really. I didn't like the experience much. Nowadays, they are way more fun. There are different kinds of questions. They now have drag and drop. They have combo box you can select from. They are colorful, right? And so it's not that black and white picture anymore. It's really fun. There are actual images to click on called, they called it hotspot questions. So you click on, and you have, how do you do this? And you have to click on the interface. It's not actually a simulator, as used to be in SQL Server 2005. But you know the pictures, and you have to answer the question like, in order to do this, where are you going to click? And you click on the picture. So you have to have hands-on experience. It's kind of really cool, right? So you know, taking the test now is way less boring than it was before. If you want to have a good look about what to expect on when taking the test, take a look on this recording. All these sessions are recorded. So this one is, the previous one is, and that one was Sunday morning. David came and explained, right, how the test works, how the process works, and you can see all the details of every kind of questions you're going to have in the test, all right? So I recommend you going back online after TechEds and check out that session. In order to pass an exam, you have to score a minimum of 700 points out of 1,000. And the question is, 700 points, cool. How many questions have you there? Between 50 and 70, depending on the test, right? So maybe more, maybe less, around 50. So you do the math. How many questions I have to answer, right? About 50. So how many questions do I have to? 35? No. It's not the amount of questions you do. You answer right. Every question has the same point. They've explained that on Sundays. 1 point for each question you answer right. If you miss a question, don't lose any points. But the way they grade this is not linear like that. All right? It's based on the ODs, the objective domain. So I put this link here on the slide deck. The slide deck will be available online, right? I think after next week. If you want to have it today, I have a USB here. So if you have your Surface, I can copy straight to your Surface. If you have a flash drive, it's on the computer too. You can copy it from there. But go online and check Liberty. She's the one who mastermind all of this testing thing. She's there explaining how they come up with this 700 points. I like what Chris mentioned in one video I was watching online with him the other day, Chris Harrison. He said the 700 is the new 1,000. If you score 700, make a party. Throw a party there because you pass. Doesn't matter if it's 700 or 1,000, you pass, you're good, right? It really doesn't matter. All right. Second step is, first step, got it. I want to be MCSE in BI platform from Microsoft in SQL Server. That's my plan. That's my goal. I know the tests I have to take. So now let's find the gaps. Now, you have 5 tests to take, 3 before this one. I'm not going over there. I'm going to focus on this one here. How are you going to find the gaps? The things you already told me. You are SQL Server professionals. You already work with SQL Server. You're already working with BI. But when you go for the test, and that's when I'm teaching class, I'm talking to people, my students, the students in the classroom come and say, I took the test, I failed the test, I don't know what I missed. I thought I'd give the best answer for every question in there. I don't know what I missed. And the point is, when you go for the test, it's like a job interview. They're not interested much on what you're doing today in your position. They're interested if you know what your the environment you're going to work with, right? The technology you're going to work with. And if you're, in this case here, if you're capable to apply the technology to a particular scenario. So when you go for the test, you have to gear shifts in your mind. It's not about what you're doing every day, but it's more about what you're going to be tested on, the subjects will be tested on. And the three things you have to take in consideration when you go for the test is what you know, and you know already, right, about SQL Server, what you know. The context, of the question, either a case study or just a single question. And the restrictions they apply, the constraints they apply on the question. Those three things will always lead you, in my experience, will always lead you to the right answers. So when you go for the test, you should go online, to the test page. You go www.microsoft.com/learning. And there, on the search box there, you type the question, the test number. In this case, 70-466. Tip, don't use Google for that. If you put 70-466 on Google, the first answer is a calculator with the math, 70 minus 466. So you're going to be a little lost in there. So go to the Microsoft website, type the number in there, and the first link will be the test page. And these are the ODs, the objective domain. In this case, we have 4 ODs. I'm going to go with you through all of them, right, when I get to the next step. But what I want to emphasize here is, they're collapsible. So if you click here on the plus sign, it will show you the details of that particular OD. And here's a very valuable information for you. For these two tests, 466 and 467, there is not much resources out there for you to work on the ODs. there are Microsoft classes, but not specifically related to the test like the other ones have. So down here on the page, you have links to topics they mentioned over here. And I did use those to prepare myself for the test. I used the books I'm going to show you at the end of the presentation. And I did use these hyperlinks too. So they improve. My point here is they improved the test page a lot. They not used to have this, right? Now they have this, and there are, when the books come out, there will be links for the books page there. And also there are links for the forums. There are some forums, discussion forums specifically focused on the test, so you can interact with Mike. I'm probably going to be there too, a volunteer for that. So a lot of resources on the test page you should take a look at. As I said, one of my goals here is to keep you awake right after lunch with this dim light. So anytime you have any question, just raise your hand, okay? Let me know you want to ask about something. You okay with the certification track? Any questions on that? Nope? All right. So I went to the website, I learned the objective domains, and I have seen some things I don't use every day. So how do I do for that? The idea is you have to research. Here, you have a special moment so we can interact together and discuss some of the things I put, I just picked out from the OD for us to discuss together. All right? I hope that will be useful for you. So here are they again, the ODs. And the first one, Building Analysis Service Database. About 38% of your questions will be on this topic. In this topic, we have this subject. So design dimensions and measures. Meaning, you're going to be tested on, there will be a study case there. I mean, the test will have from 2 to 3 study cases, may have 4. You're going to have some study cases in there. They will lay down company scenario, usually, Toy Spins or some of these names they use all the time. And they will give you the scenario. So you have this company, they have this cube, they have these dimensions. They're experienced this and this problem. They experienced that and that situations. They want to achieve this and that. There will be requirements. There will be constraints. They will show all of that on the scenario. So based on the scenario, there will be questions for you to like, how are you going to design? You see the keyword here? I mean, that's not that many, but design. The other tests will be way more designing questions in here. It's way more how you're going to apply SQL Server to that particular situation. How we're going to apply data modeling, multidimensional data modeling on that particular situation. I picked here, this is design dimensions and measures. So in this case here, they're talking about the picture they're showing two fact tables, right? And a couple dimensions, right? How many? Three dimensions. When we see it's kind of a thing I struggle all the time with my students. When you see two fact tables, what kind of cube has two fact tables? You're supposed to have one fact table, right? Which is kind of a dimension, has any other dimension there, but has measure information in it. So I do acquire two fact tables from the relational database, but I can only have those two or more fact tables in my data model if they have something in common, right? What should they have in common? Some other dimension. You gotta have some other dimension, right? In this case here is date, right? In this case here is the date. This is from AdventureWorks database, that one you can download from CodePlex, right? So common example in there. So when you do this, and then you have two fact tables in there, how many facts you really have? It's one fact dimension, right? But there is a difference between elements in these fact dimensions. Usually the difference is the granularity, right? Depending on the fact table, you have more or less details on every particular fact table. It means you're going to have more, you're going to have at least, in this case here, at least two measure groups. So when in this topic here, when they say about designing dimensions and measures, when am I going to have two measure groups? When I have facts, they are different, distinct in details, in granularity, right? And I want to have them together to design my reports, do my aggregations, whatever I want to do. Also, when I get these measure groups together, I've got this guy here, right? I always get this guy here by default. Have you seen this before? The count member they have in there for each one of them. This, I can only have distinct counts on a measure group if I have, in my measures, right, in my fact tables, if I have distinct measure groups. So these elements, this is what they're going to ask in there, right, on that particular subject. So be able to come in here and use the cube designer and double click on one of the dimensions from the solution explorer and get to the dimension, design the hierarchy in the dimension, and all of these things. These are topics you're going to be tested about, all right, tested on. What else? Implement storage and design multidimensional model. So here on the partition tab of the cube, we have here the partition name so we can get a cube and split it, right, in many partitions. Why do I want to split a cube in partitions? Performance. How does it help me in terms of performance? Have you done partitions before? Let me do that first. Okay, you have done partitions before, right? So why do we want to, it's for performance. It's all about performance. There we go, yeah. Exactly. Actually, one of the subjects that will show up in the next topics will be make the difference between partitioning for performance and partitioning for loading data, right? So, exactly. So we go right here, right? You go in this option here on the storage settings and the writable settings. Many questions in the test, not that many, but a few questions in the test will be like, you know, where do you go to do partitioning? Or where do you go to set up cache optimization? And you have to know either where to click, like in this picture here, or the right order you're going to click. So you have to have experience with playing with the tool, right, to working with the tool. It's not like in the past where, like, if you just read through a book and kind of memorize the thing, you could go to the test and kind of perform well. There are many questions now that require you to know where to click. So you have to, you know, spend some time, create like a virtual machine, install the product in there, download AdventureWorks, and experience these things. So the question is, yeah, does that mean, he's asking, does that mean you cannot find a browser around the tool, right, to see where it goes? You have to go exactly where it's supposed to be. Well, it's not a simulator. When you had the hotspot questions, there will be a few places there where you have to click on. So you don't browse through. It's just that image, and you click on it. But there are other questions when you are supposed to do things, and there is a particular order to do that, to solve that problem, and they have boxes you drag and drop to the other side and put them in the right order, and it has to be in the right order, right? So if you have not played with the tool, you don't know exactly the order. Yeah, that's the point. So he has a good point, right? So when I'm working with the tool, you know, I just know what to do. I just browse around to see exactly what it is. If I can find it, I Google it, go to a book online or something like that. And again, as I mentioned before, it's not about how we do it in everyday activities, right? But what they're going to test me if I really know how to do it. So for the test, Google will not be there, unfortunately. I heard that they're considering having some tests in the future where you can have open books, you know, to help you with the test. But it's not the fact now, so it's not there. You have to have some experience. And the best way to get these things is through a book. You know, I have some suggestions for you at the end. Just get to one of these books because they have all the steps in there. So you can kind of memorize the way to do, you know, have it fresh in your mind before the test. So a week before the test would be great reviewing these things. Multidimensional MDX is big there too. A lot of questions about how to write MDX. Who here write MDX like in a weekly activity? We don't do it much. Oh, there is one there. There you go. Just one of us here. So that's the kind of thing we don't do in everyday tasks. Would you agree? But you will be tested on that. So I'm trying to help you out here, show you that like these books I have at the end, and many others, they do have some exercises in there. And when they ask you, you know, go ahead and type this MDX. All my books now are online. So, but even though I have it online, I could copy and paste. When I'm preparing myself for a test, or even when I'm exercising, I usually don't copy and paste. And I'd rather go and type in, because little details on this, when in this kind of a question like this one here to create measures. So how do you type it? Is it curly braces or parentheses? Is it curly braces or square braces? So these little details, all the questions there, they say this, you know, they stress this out a lot. The questions are not designed to trick you. So it's not like, going to trick you, going to make you feel. The idea is not that. But there will be distractions in there, things that will make you think twice to make sure that you really know the in this case here, the syntax for the MDX expression. Does that make sense? So you have to have that fresh in your mind if you don't work with every day. All right, and where to go, very important, right? In this case here, the calculations tab. Knowing the, not the position, but the meaning of each one of these tabs is very important to get ready for the test. I do have a few, as I mentioned, right, a few questions here for us to have fun with. Here's the first one. So when upgrading dimension, you must ignore deleted rows from the stage table, right, the table on the relational model, right? You're processing the cube, you want to get information for, into the dimension table, into dimensions in your cube, but you want to ignore any dimension, that any row that got deleted in the relational model. You want to keep them in the cube, right? But you want to have the new ones coming. Which option should you use? How do you go for this test? I'm not testing you, right? This is an interaction experience. So how do you go for that? For most of the questions, when I'm like kind of insecure, I start scratching out the ones I know they do not apply. So I look at this one here, process default. Well, that is not the case. We know that default updates the dimension, right, as a whole. So that's out. Process full doesn't sound like that, right? Doesn't sound what they're asking in the question. Clear, well, and you know, if only this, you keep going through this process, it will usually get you one, to two or three that will straight down, you know, your options. So you have more possibility to process the right answer. And again, you never lose a point if you miss the question. So never leave a question behind, right, unanswered. All right, you always want to answer. If you miss that, it's not going to hurt you, but you're not going to get any points. So which one is that? In this case is process add is an option we have there on the dimension, right? You can select which kind of processing for the dimension we want, and that will be process add, all right? It's not slowly change dimension. This is a process on integration service, right? It's not here in the cube processing. It's a property on the cube processing to keep history of the rows and add new ones as they show up on the relational schema, right, supporting the cube. Are you okay so far? Still awake? All right, you're going to have coffee in a few minutes. All right, the second object there is managing and maintaining and troubleshooting analysis service. So what we get in there is not more about designing the analysis service anymore, you know, designing the structures, but actually keep them working and see if they're not working well. And when they're not working well, where do you go to find out the reasons, right, why they're not working well? So you're going to analyze the data model performance to see if the, you know, the The design is okay. If there's anything you can improve in the design, like make some changes in some dimensions, the relationship in between them. Process data models, the options you have to process the dimensions, process the cube, have the partitions being created per processing execution based on the criteria. Troubleshooting, where you go to find information about performance issues. Analysis service databases, when you want to replicate, when you want to partition in among many instances, right? Doing parallel processing among instances is another option. And questions about installation as well. So here's one, right? By the way, I put here on the slide so I don't forget, but most of these slides, they do have links on the presentation notes, right? So all these topics I've been covering before, if you look, when you get this slide, if you look in the comment area, there will be some links there on MSDN to cover more, into more depth that particular subject. So here we are, processing data models. This is for the partition, right? So which kind of processing do you want to get in that partition? Is, again, one of the questions you're going to have. Hotspot, and you have to decide which kind of processing you want to go for a particular partition. Oh, that was the only one for this topic? Yeah, cool. All right, so let's work with this one here then. Simple question. Which tool should you use to monitor the cube processing performance? Now, again, see, the question is about management. What is the context? I'm not working redesigning the thing. I'm trying to troubleshoot the thing. So I have a problem. The problem is performance. If I have never played with the product before, I will be lost in here, right? So which tool do I use to monitor performance in analysis service? Is it Management Studio, SQL Server Profiler, System Monitor, Task Manager? Which one is it? First guess here, SQL Server Profiler. You too? Anybody else? Oh, another one there? We got some, it's America, right? Let's vote. In this case here, my example is a multiple choice, right? So that's just SQL Server Profiler. Some questions on your test will be like, choose all that apply. It may have more than one correct option for a question like this. That's not based on a scenario, but it's based just on the question by itself. So there could be, that's not the case here, but could be a question that would give you more than one option and you have to choose all that apply. Now, those are the more difficult ones for me because you really have to think through to make sure that that's this one and that one, right? You have to choose the exact amount. Usually, they don't tell you how many are right, right? When they get these drag and drop boxes to go from one place to another, they tell you, you have to, if you click and drag and drop, when you reach the maximum that's supposed to be there, it doesn't allow you to drag and drop anymore. So you know how many blocks you're supposed to get across. But this one here will be way simpler, right? It's just one possible option, and it is a SQL Profiler. Now, let's take here a little bit more and think about, I want to check cube processing performance. I'm going to use SQL Server Profiler, but what option in SQL Server Profiler, what element in SQL Server Profiler I'm going to choose? Because there in SQL Server Profiler, I can use, there are two things I have to choose, right? The source of the event and the data for the event. So you have to go this deep. I didn't put this in the question, but on the test, it will be not as simple as you're seeing here. As I said, there is this NDA thing. I cannot mimic exactly what is going to be in the test, but you have to go deeper than what I'm showing here, right? So in this case here, because SQL Profiler is a cube monitoring for performance, processing performance. So I have to know, you know, which event and which data should I get from SQL Profiler to get there. If it was something else, you know, dimension processing or performance on a particular partition to retrieve data, I really have to know which events to look for. You okay? Got that? All right, so next one. Well, this is important. Although it says just 17% in here, right? This topic, the tabular data model, is very important for this test and the next test, the next one, right, the 467. Who here is already working with tabular data models? Have two instances, right? One multidimensional and one tabular. You have that? Working with SharePoint? Integrated with SharePoint? A few? No? Just a few, right? This thing is it's getting more and more popular. As independent consultant, I get calls all the time about people willing to have PowerView working for them through SharePoint. And till this tech ad, right, till before this tech ad, officially PowerView worked only with SharePoint integration, right, and tabular data model. They just announced here in the event they have released PowerView for Excel, right, to work with Excel, with the tabular data Power Pivot outside SharePoint, so kind of cool too, right? And also to work with multidimensional database. You don't need to have a tabular instance just to work with PowerView anymore. It's a project they have running for a few months already, and now they released the final version with the release, their Service Pack 1, right, of SQL Server 2012. Huh? CU4, thank you. So there we go. These updates, of course, will not be in a test for a while, right? So like running PowerView on Excel is not going to be something that will be in here. Actually, the approach will be like, you know, PowerView, you're supposed to have a tabular instance and SharePoint, right, for the testing here. But as you can see on the options in here, there will be questions on the tabular implementation. So configure permissions and rules in business intelligence semantic model. Now, this security thing also applies for the multidimensional on the next test. But on this one here, they're more on security on tabular data model, especially because tabular data model are very popular with mobile users, end users, right, taking the data mart or the Power Pivot support, you know, the data in Power Pivot with them on their mobile devices. So permissions in here, kind of important too, how to specify permissions. Implement a tabular data model. Now, let me ask you this. When would you be in need to have a tabular data model implemented if you already have your multidimensional BI implemented? You wouldn't. One question here. One answer. You wouldn't. Over online transaction database system opposed to data warehousing. Nice, interesting answers. Come on, don't fall asleep. Nope. All right. So here we go. Based on the technology, there are situations when we want to have a tabular data model, even a tabular data model is implemented even when you have BI, especially multidimensional. Sorry, even when you have a multidimensional instance of SSIS, AES. After lunch is horrible, man. I apologize. SSAS, especially when you have tools that they're more specialized to request the information in a tabular model. And the whole thing came up after Power Pivot for Excel. So if you have mobile user, and the guy is going to be disconnected, and he wants to play with the information, like in a flight from New York to London. So it's going to be like how long is it? 4 hours? 6 hours? New York to London? Well, let's put it further. Let's put San Francisco to London, like 14 hours flying somewhere, right? So the guy is going to be disconnected all the time. He's not going to be able to be online on your SharePoint implementation to do Power Pivot and all of those things. And he wants to have some reports done while flying. So you need to have some resources for the client application, in this case, in Microsoft Suite Excel, right, to be able to go into the data source, pull the information, keep the information locally for the user to work. And for the moment, you have that in tabular data model. You don't have that on a multidimensional data model. With multidimensional data model, you have to be connected. So with that constraints in mind, there will be questions about that, you know, based on the client technology you're using to connect to the data source. Does that make sense? Right? So tabular data model is something that many people will want to have side by side. And there are two ways to work with this tabular data model, processing tool that show up there, and we're going to cover when they show up. So the first one here, configure permissions. There we go. So what someone is going to be able to browse when they are able to, when they request some information, that will depend on the role association on the tabular data model. This is not multidimensional, remember? This is tabular data model. So these are the rules, read, and process, and the administrator, which can change permission for other roles. Again, the questions are not about tricking you, but there will be some elements in there that will make you think twice, right, if you got the right answer. So you have a user. A user wants to play with the information. Usually we say what? The user wants to browse information. Is that right? I have to give permission to user to browse information. But there, the permission doesn't read browse. The permission reads? Read. You see there? Read. Right? So make sure you get all these details. If you don't get the right naming, now what permission you're going to get to your user? Is it browse data or read data? So you have to have these things fresh on your mind. It's kind of a thing I fail a lot when I'm going for the test. I don't prepare myself well, right? Because it's just browse or read, whatever shows up in there, I'm going to select it. But on the test, I have to have that clear in my mind. Does it make sense? Okay? All right, so cool. Next one. Yeah, server administrator rules. So there we go. When you create those elements and you apply filters based on expressions, right, for the rule, like this rule can read information based on a dimension value b equals to whatever value you want to say, like the state dimension is California and Florida, right? So when you apply this kind of criteria you have on the analysis server properties, the rules in there and the elements they're able to work with, you know, what they're able to process. So things to consider. How many of you have developed tabular data models? I mean, most of you have not worked with tabular data models before, right? But you know, have you had this request before? I need to limit the access, the, you know, people to access some particular group of data in my cube. Isn't that a common request? Do you do that in multidimensional? All the time. You have to do the same thing in tabular data model. So if you're not familiar with tabular data model, you have to work a little bit with that. As I said, get a book, some hands-on instructions from MSDN, right, to make sure you go over this process so that it's fresh in your mind. And then you'll be ready for the test on this particular area. Implementing the tabular data model. So in here, this is table import. This is integration service, right? This is one of the dialog boxes. We have an integration service for us to select which kind of project we want to develop, right? Integration service. So this is it, right, for the tabular data model. So Microsoft SQL Server. We want to import it from a table in SQL Server, from a table in Azure. We want to get it from an Excel. It's not showing up in here, but we want to get it from Excel. The idea was pointed out before. When you're thinking tabular data model, we do think about, you know, I have my OLTP system going, and I want to get that available to my users through my BI infrastructure in a tabular data model. But I really never want to touch the OLTP tables when doing my data, when allowing my clients to access the data, right? I really want to mirror the data, right? I want to process the data somewhere else and reorganize the data, preferably using multidimensional criteria, right? It doesn't have to, but it's preferable, right? And in the test, usually they will go that direction, right? It is designed in a multidimensional way. All right, there we go. I was talking about this a minute ago. Implementing data access for tabular data model. This, as I asked before, and you said you're not very familiar with this, so this may sound like strange, right? What is this? Is this really there? Yeah, for tabular data model, it's very important to keep these topics in mind, right? The partitions we can have, and that's kind of the same criteria we have for multidimensional. The processing we have for it, and the processing here is kind of the aggregations I want to keep, and also the indexes I want to keep in there, right? So some things to consider. And here is the kind of access that analysis service will use to process the information from the relational storage. What they're doing here is the basis of tabular data model is to keep the collection of information, all the aggregations, in a proprietary way, very compact, very streamlined for in-memory querying. That's the whole point when you go for Excel, right? I got Excel 2010, I installed, or 2007, and I installed Power Pivot, right, for it. I got that installed in my Excel, so my BI users will be able to process the data. They're gonna grab millions and millions of rows in an Excel spreadsheet, and we'll process through the Pivot support in there. And the whole thing is always kept in memory. Now, you want to get that for Excel spreadsheets. When you go for the tabular analysis server instance, how are you going to work with this thing? Are you going to do the same model and get this tabular data model in memory so the analysis model will work with everything in memory in order to streamline the same way Excel would do? Or are you going to allow it to, because the information is kind of too big, right, to have it in memory stored, and work with straight with the tables on the relational database, right? So these are these two guys here, the VeriPack and the direct query that goes straight to the database. So these are options you have, and you have to get details on these options to better use them depending on the scenario. So the question you're going to have in the test will lead you one way or the other, right? You have to look into the constraints, you have to look into the whole context, especially the users you have for your solution. All right. So a simple question here. Well, that's going to be a little hard for you, I believe, since most of you have not worked with tabular data model yet, right? But here, you see, on the tabular data model, we do things we're not quite familiar with, we don't do in multidimensional models. Like, from one table, from one dimension table, I can refer to other tables to make like a relationship one to many from table to table. Think I would do through the interface, right, in multidimensional model. Here is through functions. we get MDX for multidimensional, right? And we get DAX has the language, is like an Excel language, not Excel style way to implement behavior on the tabular data model. So this particular one here is DAX. So I think the whole point here would be, you know, get familiar with tabular data model, right? You don't see this kind of thing here in MDX, but you do see a lot of these things in Excel. It's Excel look-alike. So let's see how good you are on guessing. Which one would be that? A? C. You're good, A and C. Nobody went for B or D. You're really good on that one. The right answer is A. The syntax to write it is using the square brace, right? So the right answer is A. This one looks a lot like SQL, right? But, you know, it's not SQL. It's something that was first designed for Excel, right? And the Excel way to do it. Is that clear? That's something to keep in mind. You know, you want to get into Excel and play with the Power Pivot a little bit to get the feeling of it, you know, the trend of it, so it will make sense, more sense when you go into integration service. Is that all right? All right, so last one, building a report. Oh, this one here is kind of easier, right? Reporting service, how difficult can that be, right? Just, you know, come on, it's to have fun, it's to draw things around. And it's kind of, my sense, when I took my tests, you know, was the easiest one to work with, because there are much concepts in reporting service. It's more about, you know, what you use to show a particular information. Something you have to be familiar with, have you used report parts already? Got one here, one there, another one here. Have you heard about report parts? Right? You'll be tested on report parts. Is that right? They are? Let me see. It's there. It's not showing, right, like written report parts in there, but it is there. Something about client elements. So the whole point here in this area here is you got to make sure you are okay with presenting information in the way the users want to see. Like, let's say you have a KPI in your model, either way, right, tabular or multidimensional. You have a KPI specified in there. And you want to show that KPI on your report like in a traffic light. What component is that? You see? You have to know. Indicator, right? It's an indicator. You get to know that. Actually, when you have the options in there, this guy. But you know, this is more the kind of questions you're gonna see when you go through reporting service subjects. When designing, right? When designing a report, when implementing a report layout, when getting to these areas here. When you go down these areas here for troubleshooting and managing, then is when you step out of the design area and you go into management. When you go into management, we have two possible scenarios in management, depending how my report service is installed. Report service can be installed in two ways. What are the two ways? Integrated with SharePoint and native. So if I have to manage my report service in SharePoint, where do I go for it? In what area in SharePoint? You see, these kind of elements, they're important there, and perhaps you are not a SharePoint manager. But because this report service and report service integrates with SharePoint, you have to make the distinction between when installing it, right, and you go central management for that, and you are managing it for a particular site that you have enabled through central management, and then you go for the site settings. Right, so these kind of distinctions are important because there will be questions. I mean, there are questions and a collection of questions that are in there that may touch this kind of these different scenarios. Right, so where do I go? Like, if it's native mode, where do I go to manage report service? Report service configuration manager. Is that right? Report service configuration manager. There is this particular tool for me to, you know, to manage the service. Not the reports that are in there. Go to the website for the reports, but to manage the service, report service configuration manager. If I want to troubleshoot report manager, where do I go for that? I have to go into the configurations and the XML file there and change some elements in there in order to create log files, right? And I go into the HTTPS the HTTP log files and see what's going on during processing requests, right? During report processing requests. Important to have this thing. So this one here, yeah, this is the HTTP logging, one of the topics they have there on the test. So have you seen this thing before? No? Again, it's important to get busy with this thing, right? And generate. Now, this one here, what is this one doing? It is specifying the data file name here in the suffix with the sequential number, right? And the limit for each file and what they are keeping. And this is the data is being recorded right in the log, and the elements being recorded in there. So a question that would match a scenario like this is, you have to keep track of reports coming through native mode. In this case, here's native mode. And you have to know how long it took. You see the data in here, how long it took to process, you know, things like that, right? How would you do that? I have to set up logins. How do I set up logins? Native mode is not through the configuration manager. It's through an XML file configuration. Is that clear? So there are many things we do not through configuration manager, and they're about configuration. You gotta be good about that. This one here is the report parts. So you have like a case like this. You have a user who wants to get a particular pie, you know, drawing from another report into his report, his or her report. How would get, right, the same information across? You get a developer to go into data tools, right? Get the report in there, select the graph you want to make available for a user, and publish that graph has a report part. Then the end users will use what tool? Report builder. There we go. Right? It's important good point for you. It's important to keep that in mind. Users, they will use, find end users, right? They will use report builder, right? While developers would use data tools, right? For report design. Cool. This is a kind of a basic one, but I want to make sure I cover that. There are two elements when collecting information, making information available to the end user. What are the two elements? The filter I apply when I read the data from the original data source, and the filter that I apply to the user interface reading from the data already collected from the data source. You're familiar with that, right? So this one here is when I call my data set, and for that I can use parameters, I can use any elements in there. And for this one here is the one I get through the interface with the information already cached, right, for my report. So in the test, they will, more likely, right, I'm not supposed to say they will do it because I really don't know what they're going to do. But they're more likely there will be scenarios there, like you have to filter information after they have been read from the original data source. So for that, you apply filters. Is that right? You apply filters. This area here is filtering. And this area here is parameterized queries against the database. Right? So you got to make the difference between them so you don't get confused when you get to the test. There we go. You need to define the call. Oh, I have mentioned that already. Actually, this one, I think, is different. You need to define the color of a column in your report according to the value of a budget field. What should you do? See? That's a simple one, right? This is the color property. Let us see, definitely. Let us see. Is the color property of the field? Is another Google question? Yeah, there we go. See, on his daily activity doing reports, right? This specific, yeah. You see, in every element on the report designer, you have that F for the function, right, for the expression thing. So that I think it's a Greek F, that thing, FX. It's actually for the expression. So when you click in there, you can associate calculations, whatever, to define a value for that particular property during report processing, right, the report rendering. So yeah, for the color, it will be in the color. You see, when I get to this point, I'm dying here to go into the tool to click, to show, but not allowed in this session. So that's it, right? Just give you a brief idea. I think I'm kind of successful, right, showing you points you have not worked with yet, right? Try to get you aware that you have to cover elements that you don't work in every day, and they must be bright and shiny on your mind so when you go to the test, you are confident, right, on the elements. So after you have filled up your gaps, next step is taking the test. Again, already booked out, sold out for the rest of the day, and the event ends today. But I strongly recommend you, right, to go ahead, book your test, and make sure that you, you know, you understand what areas you you have to work with. Now, this one here is my last tip for you, right, in terms of getting ready for the test. When you go for a test, again, it's not about what you know about it, not just that, does include that, but you have to get what you know about the technology, about the tool, apply it to the context of your question, and make sure you understand the restrictions that they're shown on the question. There are many times when I'm taking a test, I got to, you know, I'm split. You know, which one is it? Both would work. Which one is it? So it's not a guessing problem. There is somewhere in the text is some tip for me to break this, to untie this, and make the right choice, right? So the right answer, the right choice is the one that applies what you know, what the context tells you, and what the constraints we'll be giving, right, to work with. Some preparation resources here. This book, kind of cool book too. Hey, it's not 66. It's for the data warehouse, another 63. So what is it doing here? It's not the test I'm preparing for. There is no other book, right, from this training kit for 66 and 67. There is no, so the best one you have about preparation, training kit test preparation, is this guy here. Many things in there will show up in this test, right, but they will show up in more details. So anyways, it's a good resource. I use this guy here a lot. I actually went through this book here to prepare for my test when I went to the test last week. By the way, you see these screenshots here? I took them from Safari, right, the books online. If you have not done that yet, on the study hall, right, down the hallway here, to the left, to the right, to the left, you get 30 days free, right, of Safari books online subscription. And it's a, you know, great tool. It's been following me. I have not bought a physical book in 6 years, I think. I got all the books I need from there. So good stuff. This one is a good one too. And this one you may be interested in. On, you see, this is focused on tabular model. Now all the exercises in there are based on analysis service and Excel implementing the tabular model. All right. So this is a, you know, very good one. I highly recommend. Also, we do have classes, but you see these class numbers here, they do not match the exam, which means, you know, the class is not actually focused on the exam, it focuses on the whole platform, right? It kind of prepares you well. I like to teach this class. I actually just started 2 weeks ago, right? This one here 2 weeks ago. But there are subjects there that don't match the objective domain. Analysis service is able to do data mining. And as you could see in the test, data mining does not belong to the object domain anymore, right? It used to be in 2008. It's not here anymore, right? But this class, this particular one here, still covers a little bit about data mining, right? So you don't have to bother about that to get ready for the test, all right? Not in there. These slides here I stole from my friend Mike, who gave a lecture in the morning. These are some other places you can go to get more information, like when you go to the track, right, the MCSE, not in data platform in this case, but it would be for BI, right? You have the test there, and you have these resources here, the discussion forum and the exam prep wiki. These are there, but they're kind of quiet. There are not many people using it yet. Mike is there as the moderator. I will probably join him to help out when these things start getting busy. But the idea is you go into this place here and post questions. You know, there's this object domain here is asking about this or covering this subject. What is it exactly about? Or what this query here about? And things like that, right? Preparing for the test. We have forums on TechNet, MSDN about the technology itself. Here will be way more focused on the test. So if you get like a simulator like Transcend or something like that, right? You can, oh, got this question from Transcend and it's like this. You know, what does that really mean? What's wrong? Right? Things like that. Yeah, so we do have the forums too, we can go for. And, oh yeah, this is a great resource. We get the videos, right? The Virtual Lab videos and the Virtual Academy. I don't think there are any topics there on BI and Virtual Academy yet, but there are many topics on the first three exams you have to take, right? The 61, 62, and 63. So it's not on the exam itself, it's about the technology, but it's a great resource to get informed and try something new, right? They do have the virtual labs here, the virtual labs, and you can go online and do the hands-on lab. You don't have to mess up with a production environment, right? You use Microsoft. It's for free, and you know, just request it, and it'll be there up and running for you. Some other resources, Channel 9, always a great resource for videos explaining technology. Microsoft Learn Official Classes, TechNet, and MSDN, our playground. All right? So that's it. Don't forget to complete your evaluation. If you have more questions, you still have like 5 minutes, right? So I'll be standing here willing to interact. You got a question? Go ahead. They're there. Yeah, more likely, it's more like Azure is like a data source for your models. So you need to connect to grab information. No. Yeah. More data source, data destination, like that. Although this doesn't mention much integration service, but it's there for reporting, things like that. Good question. Any more one? Another one? Nope. All right, I got my business cards here if you want to keep my email, right? Just grab one here. Thanks for coming. I hope you have enjoyed it.